Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a Civil War era home holds a lot of secrets within its walls. A hospice worker fears that a deceased patient may have followed her. Little boy catches a glimpse of a different time while looking in his grandmother's window. And a suicide attempt leaves a man with lasting paranormal effects. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I've been playing around on the internets today. Did a little testing. Obviously, the day that you're listening to this podcast, it was recorded a little bit in advance, a couple days, to say the least. And the testing of doing live phone calls, and it worked. It worked out well. So there'll be more of that, if it's not already happening, in the future here with the show during other hours. We'll try and let you know in advance about that. But it's just fun with the Facebook Live stuff, trying to get the kinks worked out and figure out what all the possibilities there are there, because there really is a lot just beyond the let's look at the comments that are coming in and respond to that. That's fun. But mm-hmm. Now I've set it up so I can actually take calls and then interact live with the caller. And it's interesting hearing our listeners that way, uh-huh. because, you know, it's just been they leave their story for us and we react, but a little back and forth. It's fun.
So you got the kinks worked out?
I think so.
Because at one point I was on the other side of the house and I heard what sounded like a foghorn through the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a foghorn. Okay. I actually brought one in here for a little while.
It sounded like it.
And it was like, it was feedback.
Okay.
For whatever reason, there was a mic that was live and I didn't realize it, but I got it all taken care of. So, and that's part of the joy of the show, actually, too. The live ones, we just do foghorns every couple of minutes. So it just, you never know. When the foghorn sounds, call in and you win a free leg and thigh chicken dinner.
From
Ma and Pa's Grocery Express on South Main in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And you have to go pick it up there. So good luck. I don't think that even exists. I think they actually moved locations years ago.
Really?
So I don't think that coupon would actually be valid anymore. But there you go. I do recall like one of the strangest radio giveaways I've ever encountered was congratulations. You won. It was like a 79 cent like regular coffee drink from the deli at the what was in that area called the Pick and Save, which is a grocery store.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we put things in place at radio stations where when a salesperson sells a promotion, there's a dollar value minimum.
Okay.
And say, okay, we can do a giveaway with this client of yours, but it needs to be worth at least like $10 or mm-hmm. $20 or something. So it's worthwhile to the, because just, it's not like you just walk into there and get your coffee. It's like, nope, you have to go into the radio station, probably out of your way,
uh-huh.
pick up the certificate for the 79-cent coffee, then go to the station, the gas station or the grocery store and get your coffee. It just seems like a lot of hoops to jump through for a 79-cent coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I were going, this just seems like there's no, we need more value to this than just that.
Right.
But who am I? So not a lot of people pick those up, believe it or not.
I bet not.
Just go figure how that works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email Jenny your audio file from your smartphone. Is smartphone the correct term to use?
I think so.
Is that like, is it kind of going the way of like cellular phone and then cell phone and then it became what, smartphone?
Mm-hmm.
The mobile device is probably, I don't know. It was mobile device before or after cell or smart? I don't know.
I think it was before smartphone. I think mobile device also included pagers.
Okay, so you got mobile device, smartphone. I'm just wondering what the next one's going to be.
I don't know.
Just it'll be like a grunt, like, as somebody holds up
right.
their phone.
It will be.
When you use your you can email it to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you just pick that little clip out, that sounded horrible.
Mm-hmm.
If you just use your, you can email it to Jenny at Real Ghost Story. Meaning your mobile, your cell phone. Your mobile device has weird connotations to it. So
thank you for that.
There you go. Enjoy your email. Abby writes in, hey, Jenny and Tony, I recently found your podcast on Spotify and I absolutely love it. I like to listen while I'm at work doing various secretarial tasks. Today, I was listening to the episode from October 13th of last year. You guys were talking about the Underground Railroad, and Tony was talking about how he explored the tunnel under the building where he hosted his first radio show. I've had an experience involving the Underground Railroad, and I think it will be quite interesting for you guys, as it was my first experience with anything paranormal. Around the time I was starting high school, my parents had gotten divorced. My mother and I never really got along too well, so I chose to live with my father. The arrangement put me at my mother's every other weekend, and on Tuesday nights, my mother had rented a little cottage on the property of the bed and breakfast she cleaned. One night, she was telling me some stories the owner had told her, as the house is very old, built in the 1800s. She told me that there was a hidden area in the house where people hid the slaves during the Underground Railroad. Curious, I asked her to show it to me. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Before I get back into the story, I'd like to mention that I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness, and I'm sure everyone listening knows their stance on the paranormal. For anyone who isn't familiar, they teach there is no such thing as ghosts or spirits or life after death. So because of being taught this my whole life, I was not nearly prepared for what happened next. My mother brought me up to the room and pulled out the dresser from the wall. Lo and behold, a tiny little room with a mattress and chair stood behind it. The room looked fine from the outside. It was actually kind of cute. But then I decided to step in. The atmospheric charge from the bedroom to this hidden compartment was like night and day. Layers and layers of different emotions washed over me, from fear to anger to sadness. And it felt as if my chest was being crushed. I never felt anything like this before, so of course it scared the living shit out of me. I jumped back out of the room and looked at my mother with wide eyes and said, "There's something still in there." My mother looked at me like I was crazy, but did not say anything. I never went back into that small little compartment, or even the house, for that matter. It was a little bit after that that I learned that I'm very sensitive to the paranormal. I've had a few experiences since then. I'll write back later with more, but for now, I hope you enjoyed the story of my first paranormal experience. Keep up the good work. Abby.
Okay, if the mattress is still in there, anybody that laid on it during Underground Railroad times or since, I mean, that's going to hold a lot of energy right there.
Well, what I'm wondering is, I mean, is was this like remade up by the owners,
Or if that's still the same stuff.
Is it still there? I mean, I would think it'd be extremely, like, dusty and, you know, just, you know, over time, you know, time has its way with things and it's, you know, would probably be not in the greatest condition. You know, or was this like, I don't know, some sort of bizarre recreation of a room and the owners wanted to show what it looked like at its period? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think, I mean, I may be wrong, but I don't know that if it were my home that I would have taken the effort to stick another mattress in there just so it, you know, keeps that same vibe.
Well, it's one thing where if it's like, you know, like a museum and you're showing, okay, and this is an example and this is a room we found and this is what it would have looked like in its period. It's odd to have that when it's like the rented out cottage room that's used essentially like a hotel room. That's where I get kind of confused. Unless, I mean, you'd think they'd have to know about it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Or maybe they just didn't want to touch it because maybe they felt a weird vibe when they initially found it. If it is the original pieces of this, maybe should just be left alone.
And just put furniture in front of it and call it good.
Yeah. I mean, and the other thought is if you were to recreate it for historical reasons, that could also, I believe, probably trigger some things. It's kind of like we've talked about before when you put things in a setting where they once were, and you have ghosts from that time period feeling comfortable, feeling familiar with what once really did surround them there again. I think that also sometimes can bring things back.
My other thought was maybe this was not saying during the time these people had it, but sometime between Civil War and now, that room could have been used for other things that weren't great, like punishment, things like that for who knows.
It could have been a lot of things.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have even also been a kid's little play area, too. You know, like, you know how kids make little forts out of stuff? I remember, you know, my aunt had a little... like cubby, if you will, that was like kind of, it was almost supposed to be like a storage space, but you turned it into like a little like den, if you will, a child's den. And so, I mean, it could have even been that, and a kid not knowing what this was, finding this little hole. Oh, I'm going to make this a little, you know, without knowing what it was.
Sure.
So there's a lot of possibilities there, but regardless of the reasoning or what really, you know, what is there today or at that time of the story, certainly could be, you know, ripe with energy. So thank you for that that story and sharing that experience. Kathy writes, and I've had a few paranormal experiences over my life. Nothing really big or scary, but definitely interesting. I'm an RN with a local hospice here in Kansas City for the past 21 years and have been a nurse for 30. At the time of my episode, I was working as a weekend on-call nurse. My shift was from Friday afternoon to Monday morning, and I made visits to patient homes or nursing homes at any time during my three-day shift. The office we work in is a one-story building in a business park, very quiet in the middle of the suburbs. One weekend was around Christmas. We had a break between visits and stopped into the office to do some charting. On the weekend, I was always the only person in the entire office park. The building would generally be very quiet with occasional banging inside the ceiling that I chalked up to wind or maybe an animal between the drop ceiling and the roof. I could also hear the ice maker in the kitchen area dropping ice. Regardless, I generally ignored all of it as background noise. One Saturday afternoon, I was in charting in a small windowless room by the administration office. I'd finished lunch and went down the hall past the offices to the back corridor that connects our half of the building to the then empty another half of the building where the bathrooms are. I was in the bathroom. I heard the voices of a man and woman having a conversation. I thought it was weird since I knew the building was empty. I went back to our office suite, down the hall and up to the reception area, calling out, "Hello, is someone here?" I went into the conference room, which looks out into the only parking lot, empty except for my car. I came back out and rounded the corner to go back to the room and hat I'd been using. Down at the far end of the hall, at least the office had the lights on. Again, I called out hello with no answer. I went back down the hall and no one was in the room. I only had the overhead lights on in the hall and in the room that I was using. The lights in all the offices are motion activated. You have to walk into the room several feet for the lights to come on automatically. I hadn't gone into that office either time, I had passed it, and the lights don't come on when someone passes the door. But then I was feeling a little creeped out, so I went back up to the room and called my administrator on the on-call, the AOC, and told her what had happened. She agreed it was weird, and we talked a little about how we thought that maybe after we attended to death, the spirit might have attached and followed us back to the office. Considering the number of patients that pass under our care, it could be possible. She told me maybe I should leave and work from my home, but I didn't feel threatened, so I stayed. After hanging up, I went back to charting. After about 20 minutes or so, I heard a loud bang and a sliding noise on the other side of the wall. Whatever had hit the wall actually rattled the cubicle desk I was at. I jumped up and ran back around into the reception area to see what had happened. I didn't see anything. I also noted the banging, and the ceiling was pretty active. At this point, I decided it was time to leave the office, packed up my papers, and called the AOC. Told her I definitely thought the place was haunted, and I was scared. I left and went back out to do a couple of visits, not really intending on coming back the rest of the day. Unfortunately, that evening, I had to make a supply run, so I went back into the office. I turned on the lights and said out loud, "I don't know who you are, but if you are someone who died under our care, I'm sorry, it's time you moved on. People are waiting for you on the other side. You don't need to stay here. And you're frightening me, and I can't work in here if I'm scared." I went back to the supply closet, got the items I needed, and left without incidents. The next morning, when I came in, it was all quiet. Looked around the receptionist's desk and saw that a large metal Christmas decoration she had hanging on the wall behind her desk was on the floor. I assume that was what I heard the day before. Examining it, it was a couple of pounds in weight, and the hook that had been holding it was firmly still on the wall. For the remaining time, I worked the weekend shift. I never had another significant experience, though I'd still hear the occasional bang and rattle in the ceiling. I hope whoever followed one of us out to the office finally decided to move on peacefully. Thanks for reading the story. I enjoy the podcast after work every day. God's blessings, Kathy.
I just think it's off limits when a ghost haunts your workplace. Because most of the time, you can't just say, "Oh yeah, I'm not going to do that because
yeah.
I feel like that room's haunted." I mean, if you have a haunted home, you can avoid certain things. You can't really avoid everything. But to tell your boss, who may or may not believe in the paranormal, that you're not going to do something or go someplace because of paranormal activity is not usually the easiest thing to do, and probably not really accepted that often.
Yeah, I don't think that would ever be. You probably would need the reaction to be, "Okay, you need to get a medical note from your doctor saying that you cannot do said task." And if that is the case, if it's like part of the job, you probably just don't have that job anymore then.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's just the reality of it. Because the thing is, you would, if that were an acceptable excuse, you'd have cases like this where real things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's disturbing. It's troublesome. Obviously, you know, she got through it fine, and it all kind of went okay. But you would also have people going, "I heard somebody use this excuse the other day,"
mm-hmm.
when it was legit, and then, "I'm not going to do this task because there's a ghost," and it would be abused.
Yeah.
Be interesting if there's ever a company handbook where that's addressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a side note, because they're usually in fairly legalese as far as what's acceptable and what's not. And if that's ever been something that someone had to put into the actual handbook, going, excuses of, you know, not wanting to do job because of this, not acceptable and are fireable, you know, something like that. Especially when you have like a really old building.
Yeah.
Or something like this, where there's a lot of death involved and they've probably heard it a time or two,
mm-hmm.
but they still need to function as a business. And eventually they just get sick of it and go, "Look, we can't let everybody who's having this problem not do their job because someone needs to do the job."
Mm-hmm.
That would be interesting.
I could see a notoriously haunted location that mm-hmm. has employees that have to deal with that, that they're told up front, "This place is haunted. So you just cannot use that as an excuse to not do your job.
Sure. Like, we've had stories. Some people say it's haunted. Some people say it's not. But if you find or you feel it is, that's great. But that's still not exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. Not an excuse not to do your job.
I just feel really bad for people like Kathy where
they're
just trying to do their work and crap's going on.
Yeah.
It's just not right.
You can't really get around it.
Mm-mm.
It's, Leanne writes, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm Leanne from Northamptonshire, England. I'd like to start off by saying I love the podcast. Just about manages to get me through my delivery shifts at work, even if it does make me too scared to go out the back on my own. A bit of background information, I would say from quite a while, I've been a sensitive, from quite a sensitive family. I've been surrounded by people who talk about the paranormal ever since I was younger, including my mom's best friend, who's a medium, and my nan, who is a healer. I have a lot of stories and may write in with more in the future, but today's story is actually my dad's. It's one of my favorite ghost stories within my family, so I thought I'd share it with you. My dad's nan owned a farm, and when my dad was younger, he spent a lot of time with his brothers playing there. This particular day, he must have been in the about nine or ten, and he was playing outside in the fields when he noticed a man in old clothing walking around in one of the back rooms of the house. He walked a little closer and watched the man. The way he describes this particular part of the house was that it had a back door in the middle and two very big bay windows on either side. He watched the man walk over to a big bookcase and take a book before walking back across the room and sitting down. Obviously, to a 9-year-old, this probably wasn't too interesting. And after the man sat down, my dad carried on doing whatever he was doing and didn't return into the house for a few hours. When he finally went into the house, he walked up to my great-nan and asked, just out of curiosity, that she had come to visit earlier. She looked at him and replied that no one had come to visit. Obviously, my dad was confused and said, but I saw him in the back library. He walked in and took a book from the shelf. Apparently, after he said this, my great-nan led him to the back room and said, Roy, that's not possible, before opening the door to the back room, which was, in fact, a storage room. No library, no bookcase, just lots and lots of boxes. My dad, to this day, still says that he does not believe in ghosts, but according to my mom, that's not the only ghostly experience he's had, but he thinks that it's easier just to not believe in them. Kind of makes you wonder what sort of things someone has to see to decide they want to pretend they're not real. Many thanks for reading my story. Maybe next time I'll write in about a tribal man I met on my landing when I was 6 years old.
I think that I just lost my thought.
You think that you just lost your thought? Hashtag shit Jenny says.
I just completely had a brain fart.
What is interesting about this is he saw the man, and mm-hmm. apparently he has had other experiences too, yet continues to convey to other people not believe in the paranormal. I'm sure there's a coping mechanism at play here, but is it something where if he feels that if others don't believe, they won't experience it too? Maybe it's almost a protection thing for other people, or it's just flat-out denial.
See, to me, that's just as accurate as when you say, well, if I cover my eyes, nobody can see me.
Well, exactly. Unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people in this world who facts, you know, seem to elude them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter, you could put it, you know, the sky, you know, look, the sky is blue. It's blue right now. Look at it. No, it's green.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's blue. It's a fact. And they like, it's like open for debate.
Right.
It's like, no, not everything is debatable.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw this, you've recounted it to someone that you saw this. You probably saw it. You factually saw it. Now, the fact that doesn't line up is that there's not a library there.
Right.
The books aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But that still shouldn't discount the experience that you had. It doesn't make that go away.
And I think this was not just a ghost that he saw. I think this was one of those where you're looking into a different time. I think when it's more than just the being, the person mm-hmm. that's there, that the whole environment changes, it's mm-hmm. more of like a time slip type scenario.
And yeah.
I think it's interesting because not everything seemed to change. It was just that room.
Yeah. Were they able to confirm, did I miss it, where that was a library at one point in time, or that there was books in there? Or?
I don't think that was confirmed. It just showed that the room was storage. It was just full of stuff.
The setting was something else, and they're seeing it. That's interesting. Very good story. Thank you for sharing that. I think there's a lot of ghost things that happen that end up that are really time slips, and not necessarily something consciously trying to come back and deliver a message. It's just for whatever reason that seems to happen. Jay writes in, I've been debating whether or not to write this story in or not. It's a sort of a heavy subject. I figured I'd just write it to you, and you can decide if you want to read it or not. There's a paranormal element in it as well. When I was 16, I decided to take my own life. I swallowed a whole lot of sleeping pills, 24 of them, and went back to lie down next to my girlfriend at the time. It didn't take me long to realize what a bad decision that was, and I woke her up and got her to call the paramedics. They showed up, carried me down the stairs, and loaded me into the back of the ambulance. That's when I started blacking out. The last thing I remember is the paramedic telling me not to go to sleep. Then the world went dark. My next slice of memory was the metal doors of an elevator at the hospital closing, and then quickly lost consciousness again. I woke up next looking down at the arm of a mannequin, only to then realize it was not a mannequin at all, but my own arm, so drained of blood it was completely white. A bowl was put to my face, and I was told to drink something that seemed like a milkshake with tiny pieces of gravel in it, which I immediately threw up in the bowl. I heard the doctor say, "Watch for seizures," and that scared me. The nurse was repeating something that I finally had enough of my faculties back to hear. She was telling me to slow my heart rate down. I could see the heart rate monitor climbing steadily. So I remembered something from meditating in martial arts class, to imagine a chalkboard full of chalk and to slowly clean it away with a damp cloth and focus only on that. It seemed to work for a bit, that is, of course, until I passed out again. Then I awoke. This time it was different. The room seemed colder and larger. The doctors and nurses were running around, seemed like they were in a slow motion and had a blurry trail following them. The voices were distant and sounded as though they were talking underwater. I looked around and saw other patients in their hospital gowns, many of them all crowded into the room, some peeking through the glass windows to the hall. Their gray faces all had blank expressions on them. They were all looking at me like they were expecting something. I was wondering why the hospital would allow other patients into the room at this moment. That's when one of the nurses entering the room, into the room, passed right through one. The patient dissipated around the nurse like she was walking through smoke. As soon as the nurse got through the patient, it regained its form, still staring at me, now tilting its head slightly. I turned my focus back to the other direction. My view slowly turned to the left to see a face white as a ghost immediately in my view close up. I recognized this person. It was someone who I had seen every day of my life. It was me. I was looking at my own face outside of my body, only inches away. I had a strange, dizzy, sick feeling at what I was seeing. Again, the world went black. Crack, awake again, loud voices, beeping machines, feet shuffling. Everything seemed to have the volume turned up now. Once again, the bowl and nasty milkshake were put to my face. This time, I was able to keep it down. My heart rate was slower. Everything calmed down. Next time I awoke in the dark, everything was peaceful. A doctor was calmly asking me where I was, and I told him. This process was repeated all night. Sometimes I knew the answer. Sometimes I had to think about it. After a few days in the hospital, I was cleared to leave. I found out the same night I was brought in, a man in his 40s did the same thing I did. He was not as young and healthy as me and had to be put on a mechanical ventilator to help him breathe. I never did find out if he was okay. So to anyone out there feeling like I did that night, just please talk to someone before you make any rash decisions. Call a hotline, talk to a friend, even just wait a day. Love the podcast, Tony and Jenny. Big hug to you guys and all the listeners. Dane.
I almost wonder if the ghost that kind of, after he was walked through, kind of tilted his head like he doesn't understand, was maybe the other person that attempted his life too. I know it's a long shot.
Sure.
But maybe kind of like, why is he going to make it and I'm not?
It's interesting. Without knowing the side to that story, it's hard to know exactly. I mean, it also does kind of sound like an out-of-body experience a bit. I mean, it was quick. It was back. You know, like, I'd be very interested to know more about this person's life who wrote in after this experience, if that veil had thinned at all and other experiences have occurred.
I bet there have been. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, it may be where he's not even aware that certain things he's seeing aren't really there.
Sure. That seems to be a commonality with that. Good story. Thank you for sharing that very personal story with us and that experience. We do appreciate that. Our next letter, my mother tells me that as an infant, she found many instances that paranormal things have occurred around me. From seeing people surrounding my crib to our dog, Bear, refusing to come out from under my crib while growling at what seemed to be nothing. Granted, it was an old house. This is what she attributed to. When I turned 2, we moved into the house I grew up in and where my parents currently reside. This is where my first story begins, as I have many. I have a beautiful Irish setter who always slept with me, and this night she refused to. I was kind of happy about it, seeing that I slept on a small bed, and Misty constantly pushed me off the bed when she stretched in the middle of the night. I went to sleep just like normal. In the middle of the night, I woke up, and in the corner of my room, I saw a man. He was very tall, about 6 feet. I know this because my family is fairly tall. My uncle is 6'9", and Grandpa, rest his soul, was 6'3". I never had the joy of meeting him. He died when my mom was 16. The rest of the apparition was pretty plain, aside from being able to see through him. I could make out a button-up shirt, maybe denim, and jean slacks. I could make out small facial features like a roundish face, no beard or mustache, and a crew cut you'd get if you were in the military. He just stood there as I sat up in my bed, just staring at me. As a child that young, I waited to see what would happen. Then he made a gesture with his arm. I do not remember that gesture because as soon as I saw it, I saw it move, I ran into my parents' bedroom seeking my parents' security. I woke my mom, seeing as she was the most comforting one. She got up, checked my room. I refused to sleep in there the rest of the night, so the floor beside my parents' bed was where I slept for the rest of the night. Oddly, Misty was sleeping in the same area. I woke the next morning, and my dad asked why I was sleeping in their room. I told him about the man. He brushed it off, thinking it was my imagination. My mom, however, asked what he looked like. I told her the best I could, which is more than I described to you 27 years later. She had this weird look on her face when I told her. She didn't say much aside from, "You'll be okay and don't worry." But 5 years later, my sister moved downstairs and her bedroom became an office. My mom, who took over the office, decorated with pictures and things belonging to her father. Unfortunately, she only had his military memorabilia. I've only seen one picture of my grandfather, the one that hung in that room. Seeing that was five years later, but when I looked at that picture, it bore a distinct resemblance to the apparition aside from the military suit. I've experienced many other things in that house, EVPs, more apparitions, Ouija experiences, and things moving. One explanation I can attribute these experiences to is my mom and dad's decorating. They love to use antiques, most of which were family-owned. The other was the Ouija, said Vortex. Thank you for your podcast. It gets me through my day at work.
I think the grandfather just wanted to come back and see the grandchild.
Yeah, I think it seems pretty harmless like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering about the Ouija thing. Does that mean they use the Ouija board commonly around the house?
I don't know, but when a Ouija board makes you spell out Vortex, that's not a good sign.
Okay. It's a Ouija dinner, everybody. We got pizza and Ouija tonight. Hey, there's an idea for a pizza place at Halloween.
Okay.
Ouija pizza.
Ouija pizza.
Will you get a pizza? And it's like a Ouija board. The toppings are like the letters and all that.
Uh-huh.
And then the planchette's like a big breadstick or something.
Yeah, that's going to work really well.
New Ouija pizza at Pizza Hut. That would be exciting.
If you had a restaurant full of people attempting to use a Ouija pizza, I wonder how many things would be going on.
The Pepsi's just shooting out of the dispenser and the croutons are flying out of the salad bar randomly. Oh, it's Ouija pizza night at Pizza Hut. That would be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh, that's a good idea. 855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If somebody makes a Ouija pizza, please do send us a picture of it.
Yeah.
I will put that up. I'll put that up as like our Facebook, like the big background for the a little while. Exactly. The cover for a while. That would be hilarious. I'm going to get inundated with Ouija pizzas. This one time, my family made a Ouija pizza because they liked this ghost show. And oh my God, shit got real.
Has there ever been a normal story that started out with this one time?
With the word Ouija pizza in it. We were at the antique store the other day. And I was talking about this on the Facebook Live earlier. And found an old Ouija board there. And it was like really old. Like the old, old box with like the, you know, the angel of death on it or whatever. And it was funny because I wanted to pick it up and take a look at the box and the date on it. I was really curious. And I had Harp with me in a cart, and you were on the other side of the store. And as I go to pick up the box, I was like, no, we don't touch that.
Is that what she said?
Yes.
She doesn't even know what a Ouija board is.
Well, I'm thinking she might have just been like following the rule if we don't touch things at antique stores.
Yeah.
But I just thought the reaction was kind of humorous being what it was. Because I'm really not picking up many antiques at the antique store. A lot of times I'm just kind of pushing her around and we just look at things. But we do set the rule, and she's very good about it, but no, we don't touch things at the antique store. And it's not about ghosts, it's just, we don't want to break things.
Yeah.
But that was their immediate reaction. Daddy, you put that down! We don't touch things! We're like, okay, honey. And then Jen came over and I told her that we were having a little Ouija session. We didn't, but I would imagine if you did do a Ouija board at an antique store, you probably have pretty good results.
You'd get a number of things, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying good as in good things, but you would get results. Stuff would happen.
I wouldn't even do ghost radar in there.
Oh, that's awesome. Try that.
No.
I've deleted it from my phone, though.
Yeah.
I'd have to put it back on there. That'd be interesting. Especially that one, because that's the one where we smelled the pipe smoke.
But it's gone.
It is gone.
That workbench chair is gone.
It was gone even before the workbench chair was gone.
I know.
It was gone within seconds.
But that's what it was tied to.
And now someone has a ghost. Be interesting to find out. If you can look at, can you ever find out like who bought? No, probably not.
No.
Like bought this, and I'm just curious. You got any ghosts now? Oh my God! Yeah. Why? This happened. I bought this workbench. Yeah. Okay. Pipe smoke. What do you know? That would be interesting. Tom writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Tom from Toronto, Canada. I was the one who wrote in about the blue figures running down my street. It was read on your August 24th podcast. Your wife was wondering if I'm an empath. Not knowing what an empath is, I had to research it on the internet. And yes, I do possess a lot of these qualities that empaths are known to have. Such as being nonviolent, non-aggressive, tend to be peacemakers, and will find peaceful resolutions with conflicts. They are also emotionally sensitive, inquisitive, and keepers of family history, which describes many of my qualities. They also are known to throw Kit Kats at their husbands' heads. I had my first experience about 10 years ago. I added that in there.
I know. It's a good sign. You added that.
I just thought I'd let you know, just in case you didn't realize.
I was
that.
Paying attention.
Okay. I know. I had my first experience about 10 years ago when one summer weekend, my wife and I were traveling through southeastern Ontario on a getaway from it all weekend, as we like to call them. We stopped in a small town at a quaint bed and breakfast that was over 100 years ago, and at one time was a local doctor's home and practice. We checked in, but immediately I felt as if 100 pairs of eyes were looking at me. The feeling was very unnerving and unsettling. We left and then went to a local restaurant for dinner. During our meal, I was very quiet and in a pensive mood. Usually being a talkative person, my wife asked me what was on my mind and why I was so reserved. I told her that I believed the B&B we just checked into to be haunted. She laughed and said I was probably imagining it. I agreed and dismissed my apprehension. After dinner, we returned to the B&B and sat out in the patio having a drink. The owners of the B&B joined us later for a drink, and we chatted about things in general. They were a very nice older couple, and gave us a brief history of the house and to the house of the day and the day of life of being a small hotel owners. During the course of our conversation, my wife blurted out, "My husband thinks your house is haunted." They both immediately stopped talking, stopped smiling, and looked at each other. After a few seconds of an awkward silence, they admitted that the place is very active and inhabited by six spirits, of which she saw two of them that day. My wife was shocked by my prediction, as was I. I told them that I could feel them as soon as I entered their home. Both of them then pleaded with us to please not to say anything to the other eight guests, as she did not want them to become alarmed and leave suddenly. We agreed, as we both know how tough things can be for a private business owner, and we did not want to bring any negativity towards them. The owners asked me how I knew it was haunted, and I said, I don't know. I just knew. I can't explain it, but things just didn't feel right. We left the next morning after an uneventful sleep and wished the B&B owners the best of luck and promised not to say anything about their establishment and the spirits. After my letter was read on the August 24th podcast, Jenny, your lovely wife, wondered if my ability is a curse or a blessing. I think it's a little of both. Being a former policeman, I tend to base my life on hard evidence and circumstances and not on feelings or emotions. But I've seen things that are not of this world and in times scare me, but also fill me with wonderment and awe. I don't retell my so-called paranormal experiences to anyone other than my wife. She thinks it's a fun quality I have and will always ask me if I feel or see anything when I visit old buildings or historical sites. I'm almost embarrassed writing this to you, but I wanted to answer Jenny's questions. I've been an EPP for the past 8 months and encourage all your listeners to do the same. I've listened to many paranormal podcasts, and in my opinion, yours is the yardstick that the others are measured against. I love the lively banter, wishing you continued success with the show.
You know, I'm not sure, but I think being a police officer as an empath would be like the most, like the worst job you could have as an empath.
Sure.
Because you don't go seeking conflict, but when you find it, empaths don't do well with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we always try to keep the peace. We don't want to ruffle any feathers, and you just run into thing after thing. But yet, on the same note, you can tell that there's something up with somebody without any evidence at all. You mm-hmm. just know. So I can see ways that it's helpful, but I can see that it would be so terrible too.
Well, and especially just the situations that you have to encounter that are not the greatest and you really can't do a whole lot about.
Yeah.
You know, especially like situations where there's kids involved and it's just a really bad setting and maybe there's no crime committed,
mm-hmm.
but you just have, you know, you're checking on something or somebody called and you get there and really nothing is going on, but you just know that this is a negative environment
mm-hmm.
and you can't do shit about it
yeah.
at that moment in time. I mean, in one aspect, it gets your radar up more to, you know, pay more, you can pay more attention to it and you can put more weight on it, I guess, than maybe other people would mm-hmm. who don't have those feelings. But at the same point, it would, I think, if you're an empath, it would weigh on you.
Oh, yeah.
So much heavier, too, of like, I know this is not good there, but I can't do anything about it right now, legally.
Yeah.
And I think that would be very, very troubling. So thank you for sharing those experiences with us. And feel free to write in more. Don't feel embarrassed. I mean, if you want to, you can even do it anonymously. You don't need to even connect the dots that it's you on future stories if you'd rather not. But it sounds like you have quite a few interesting experiences to share. Kristen writes in, hey guys, my name's Kristen. I just stumbled upon your podcast last week. I've listened during work each day since. I'm simultaneously fascinated and terrified by the paranormal, so I absolutely love your show. A story I'd like to share happened in my parents' home about 5 or so years ago. My sister and I have always felt that there's some kind of presence in the house, although the house itself is not old by any means. I imagine there are either friendly and not so friendly entities or what have you, as we have felt both. One afternoon, I was sitting at the kitchen table when I heard my sister gasp. She walked into the kitchen with her face pale and huge eyes. She shakily told me that she believed she was just possessed. She said she awoke from a nap on the couch feeling angry for no reason and told me that she was unable to move from the couch for a few minutes, as if someone was holding her down and still. We talked about how strange that was, but I tried to calm her down and we went on with our day. A couple of days later, I was watching a movie alone on the couch at night. I dozed off and had an awful nightmare that I've never, ever had before since. In the dream, everything bad that I can imagine happened. My whole family was killed, including my dog. I just felt such an overwhelming feeling of dread. I awoke abruptly and could tell I was not alone in the room. I could almost see a dark shadow watching me from the corner of my room. My dog was lying on the floor next to me, staring right at me, and I couldn't move. I tried so hard to get off the couch and leave the room, but I was paralyzed. After a few minutes, it was as if someone flipped a switch. I could move again. I didn't feel like there was anyone in the room anymore. After that, I just ran, scared as hell, to my room upstairs and dove under the covers. So I'm not sure what that was all about, especially because I live in a newer home, like I said, although I do live right on the border of a town of Kirtland, Ohio. Kirtland is famous for cults and satanic worship throughout history. Creepy. Who knows if that's related? Anyway, thank you for your time. I knew I would ramble, so I figured it was better to write. I have plenty of stories, so I hope I can write in again soon. I plan to become an EPP as well. Thanks for making my day better. Feels great to get that story off my chest. Sincerely, Kristen.
They need to get rid of the couch.
You think?
I think so.
I think the couch is our conduit here, or
both experiences happened to people on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the couch. I don't think it's the house. I mean, if a bunk bed can be haunted,
anything could be.
Thousands of bunk beds, anything could be.
What if it was a couch made from the lumber of a haunted bunk bed?
Who knows? But I don't know. I just think it's very suspicious that both of these experiences that were so similar happened on the couch.
It is interesting. With all that stuff that goes on around there, too, I wonder, what's underneath your floor?
Yeah.
I mean, like underneath, it's carpeted. Anything underneath that carpet there?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting to see. Somebody pull, that'd be just creepy. Pull it up and pull the carpet up. Oh, look at all these wonderful symbols that are on the ground. I'd be curious about that as well. Would you ever repurpose a bunk bed? Miss,
Me?
I like to repurpose items.
I mean, to repurpose things.
And not as a bunk bed, but like literally, like I said, taking the lumber from one and using it for something else, knowing all of the joy and peace that bunk beds bring so many of our listeners.
Sure, we have a fire pit in the backyard. I would use it for that.
That's not a good... It's like burning a Ouija board.
Okay, I'm not
that
going
releases
to
it.
Get a bunk bed for the purpose of lumber. I'm not.
Look at this bunk. Look at all the wood we could use on that bunk bed.
No
I don't really be... Yeah.
Not after doing this show for almost 2 years for me. No.
So if someone... It was just there, like you're... I have no idea how this would ever work
out. Like side of the
out.
Road with a free sign?
Side of the road, say next door. Or down the road, neighbor, we don't even know who they are.
Keep on driving.
But there's, and it's just like the perfect pieces and shapes of wood that you're needing for whatever project it is you're working on. And you see this, and it's just there. It's like, oh, this would be perfect for whatever you're doing.
Right.
Insert project here. And it's there. And it's free. And it looks like it'd be the perfect shape. It's all the right color you're going after. It's just great.
No, I just can't, because even if it's not haunted, I'm going to be weirded out by it because of all the bunk bed stories.
I don't blame you.
Just can't do it.
I don't blame you. Alicia writes, in a little over a year ago, a still unknown person broke into my grandparents' home and brutally beat and killed both my grandfather and my grandmother. My grandmother's body was thrown into the lake behind their house, and my grandfather's head was removed from his body and displayed in a gang symbolic way. His head was never found. I was unable to eat and refused to sleep. I keep getting a feeling that something was in my home or something that was bad was trying to find me. Became very obsessive over walking through my home multiple times and checking every possible place someone could be hiding. I had to do this at least 5 times before I would allow myself to feel safe enough to go to bed. One evening, I had finally convinced myself it was okay to sleep, and I was lying in my bed watching Netflix. I noticed something moving out of the corner of my eye. It felt like someone was standing on the edge of my bed. I tried to ignore it, thinking it would just go away. I began to feel very sad and just like something bad was near. I turned my light on and inspected every part of the room, and nothing was there, so I turned off the lights and laid back down. I started to feel it again, but this time stronger. I felt so strongly upset that I began to cry uncontrollably. I was sure there was someone at the bottom of my bed. I finally mustered up the courage to look, and I was mortified. There was a woman standing at the bottom of my bed. She had muddy, tattered clothing and was soaking wet. She was holding something in her hand that was very obviously a severed head. I refused to look directly at the head, terrified that it might look like my grandfather. She mostly just stared at me for a while and then began to demand that I look at the head. She continually said, "Look. Look." I closed my eyes as hard as I could, refusing to look at anything. When I opened my eyes, she was gone, but she had left the head on the top of my dresser, which eventually would disappear if I closed my eyes long enough. She'd visit me 3 to 4 times a week and do exactly the same, begging me to look at the head and leaving it on my dresser in hopes I would look. She still visits not as often, maybe 2 to 3 times a week, but I've grown more comfortable with it and usually ignore her long enough to where she just leaves. I've debated for a while on whether to share this experience because I don't want to give her or anyone attention more than I have to. I hope that maybe you guys or someone might be able to explain why this is happening or how to make it stop. Thank you for taking the time to read the story. I'm an EPP and binge on the show every time I drive and all day at work. Keep up the good work. Alicia.
I think you have a predator ghost, which I think is the type that's going to take the opportunity to come in and haunt because it knows that you're probably still not in a good place considering what happened.
Yeah, I would say it's probably not directly connected to the events that occurred. I'd say it's something that is in tune with you being in a bad place and is preying on you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying it was something that like had anything to do with the murders.
Right.
Or possessed anyone to do the murders. It's just that was a very negative event in your life and brought on a lot of negative emotions. And exactly what it would be, a predator type ghost that is or entity or demon or something that is there strictly to cause any sort of emotional distress that it can. And it knows that that would be the ultimate distress thing it could do,
mm-hmm.
is do something like that. And that's one of the most disturbing stories I think we've ever read on the show.
I think it is. And I don't think it's actually something demonic because it seems like this has been going on for a while and it just does the same things. It's not escalating. It's not doing anything different.
I don't know. I think it could be.
Really?
I don't necessarily think it's like maybe a super strong spirit, but something that's not good. I don't know that I put it into the realm of it being a human ghost coming back.
I don't know. It's hard to know. It's either a really, really bad ghost or something possibly demonic, but
no.
I think the best thing you can do is take care of you and try and as hard as it is, try and do what you need to do to try and get yourself back to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you have issues by any means, but anybody that's gone through something like that is going to have some negativity in their life, and obviously it's created a lot of fear because it sounds like there's rituals that go on before bed before you mm-hmm. can quiet your mind enough to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, something where you can get back in control of emotions and your anxiety and all of that, it would be, and that's half of it. That's half of battling this thing is, it's not necessarily going around your house and saging it or salting it or doing whatever. I think a lot of this is it's feeding on your vulnerabilities and you need to essentially get those vulnerabilities eliminated or get much stronger in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not feeding off of them. And that can probably be done. You know, you may already be seeking, some sort of counseling or help to get to a better place mentally. And,
sure.
And no one, I don't think anyone could fault you for being in a bad place right now with that. And I'm not in any way saying that these things happening are not ghostly. They probably are. It's just feeding on you. So please do. I hope that you can get to a better place so this thing can go away. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you so much for calling in or writing in. We greatly appreciate that. If you like our show, please support it. Help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. Sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.